Ed and Rizan Ferrelli on 2FM
with Virgin Mobile. Go from scrolling through stories to creating your own. Freedom is calling. Virgin Mobile. Bring on amazing.
Warning. The following item is not recommended for little ears.
Because it's time for a dose of sex therapy with Rachel Cook.
Yes, it is. Welcome to Sex Therapy. As always, this is a Little Ears warning. And remember, you can catch this chat on our podcast after the show. Now, everyone knows that all relationships are tough at, well, different times. But why do some of us make it even harder for ourselves by looking for love in the wrong places? Well, let's find out with our resident sex therapist, Rachel Cook, who's on the line. Morning, Rachel.
Hiya, Jen. How are you?
I'm good. So, Rachel, what does being unavailable mean in simple terms?
Oh, so it basically just means someone who can't or won't give you enough time, energy, communication or intimacy to build a sort of safe and satisfying relationship with them. I think that's what it means at its core.
OK. And what are some of the ways a person can be unavailable for a romantic relationship?
Oh, loads of ways. It could be that they won't commit to agreements that they've made. Maybe it's that they blow hot and cold. It could be that they're already married or in a monogamous relationship, or that they're being unfaithful in a supposedly monogamous relationship. But it can also, this isn't just applicable to romantic relationships. Emotional unavailability or just unavailability can impact all types of relationships. That can be friendships, parent-child relationships, work relationships as well. So it's not just about the romance or sexual relationships.
How common is it for people to date or try to date someone who's unavailable? Is this a common thing?
This is huge. I would say that most people will have experienced this at least a handful of times in their dating life. But depending on how much you date, the age you are, how much experience you've had, most people, I think, especially the younger generations now, because there's so much more dating happening with online dating and stuff like that, I would say that the vast majority of people, especially in more kind of cities or more urban places, will have had dozens of relationships with people where they've experienced the other person as unavailable or experienced themselves as unavailable. So very, very common.
And what are some of the reasons for this relationship pattern?
So there's a good few reasons for it. A lot of research will say that it's down to your attachment style. And, it's like the topic will focus around attachment theory. So that's basically about the early parent-child relationship that impacts your capacity for emotional intimacy with someone. So, basically when a caregiver is unable to provide to meet the emotional needs of a child, they will develop insecure attachment, which we've talked about before and is very useful to read about. So if you have insecure attachment, that can come out as anxious attachment, avoidant attachment, or disorganized attachment, which is kind of a combination of anxious and avoidant. But basically, if someone has avoidant attachment, that is the one that generally comes across as being the most unavailable. So the person will tend to come across as much more like independent, both sort of practically and emotionally. They have a harder time getting intimate with others or relying on them. They usually don't trust people. So, really basically people who have attachment wounds, such as a history of being abandoned or neglected or sort of ridiculed or humiliated growing up, that can very often lead to emotional unavailability. And this is because staying emotionally distant serves a self-protective purpose. If you don't have to feel pain and you don't have to get too close to someone, then you're not particularly vulnerable to having your feelings hurt, which is kind of where this comes from. And then we also have this, more and more research has been done into now how particularly cis male gender identified people, so men, people who've been brought up as men, receive culturally reinforced messages that emotional vulnerability is weak, and in response they develop patterns of emotional unavailability in an attempt to live up to cultural gender expectations. However, it's a misconception that only men develop emotional unavailability, and it's also a misconception that all men are emotionally unavailable, as we've talked about before. We've got to have the caveat in there, Jen, don't we?
Yeah. Is there a crossover between narcissism and unavailability?
Is a crossover. They definitely can overlap, but they aren't the same thing. I have a lot of people refer to anyone who's unavailable to them in a relationship, particularly romantic relationship. They will say, oh, that person's a narcissist. And they are, connected but separate things, because, an emotionally unavailable person has difficulties expressing and handling their emotions and sharing that. But someone with narcissistic traits is very, you know, will also have an exaggerated sense of self-importance, feelings of superiority, a sense of entitlement. Generally, they will have very low empathy, and they will have a persistent need to be powerful, successful, smart, admired, or loved, or certainly to be seen that way. So those things don't necessarily apply to, you know, well, they don't apply to all people who are emotionally unavailable, because there are lots of other reasons why someone might be. It could also be for reasons like, you know, someone has recently broken up with someone and they just haven't had the time to sort of get over that. So, you know, it doesn't mean, just because someone is emotionally unavailable to you at that time doesn't mean that they are always unavailable. But it is important to recognize that if they're unavailable to you, you know, you're going to need to do something about that, because it's probably not going to change by itself.
What can you do if you realize you have a habit of dating unavailable people? I mean, surely you can see it in yourself, or your friends will tell you. You know, you keep dating married people or people who are unavailable to you. What, you know, so if you recognize that, or it's told or sent to you by friends or whatever, what can you do about it? Is therapy the only way to go, or, you know?
No, I mean, therapy is very helpful. And I think that that usually ends up being the route that people go down, because it's just easier to do that with the help of someone who has a lot of experience in that area and is, you know, there to not judge you and to help sort of listen to you, help you understand yourself better, and kind of, you know, design in some ways a path forward and be able to, you know, to some degree hold you accountable to that. But you definitely don't have to do that. You know, I think starting by recognizing the role models that you have for that you had for a romantic relationship in childhood mirror your relationship patterns as an adult. You know, research has demonstrated that we're often attracted to partners who seem familiar to us and have similar qualities to our parents. And so, you know, perhaps your parents or whoever your caregivers were, it might have been one parent, it might have not been, you know, a parent as such, it could be grandparents or whoever else, but perhaps those people were together but emotionally distant from one another. Maybe one of them appeared to be much more invested in the relationship than the other, creating an imbalance in that partnership. And also, yes, just recognizing what role models you grew up with and how that might impact you. It doesn't mean that you're only going to choose people who are very similar to one or both parents or caregivers.
Okay.
But it's more likely because it's familiar. You know, another thing you can do is recognize that, you know, some part of you might be unavailable. This can be a tough realization. A lot of people are tempted to deny this, you know, but basically consider that a reason you might be drawn to emotionally unavailable partners is that some part of you, you know, kind of maybe you consciously would like commitment in some way and to kind of escalate a relationship and maybe cohabit or have kids or whatever. But deep down, now I would say deep down, we all to some degree fear intimacy, and we fear getting hurt and losing our sense, your sense of self in a relationship. But for some people, that fear is very, very strong. And so they might be, you know, what can be seen as self-sabotaging, but is really a form of self-protection by dating people who are actually safer. Because if someone is already unavailable to you, you know, on some level that you don't have to really invest yourself in that, because it's kind of a no-goer. So that one can be hard to recognize, but is very helpful to see, like, what part of me might have gotten so hurt from maybe a past relationship, or, you know, what I saw growing up, or different things that have happened to me, that can help you sort of work out, like, where do I want to go next, or what sort of person is going to be less activating or triggering or distressing for me to date, so that I can have, you know, just a bit of an easier time of it.
How about if you realize you're the unavailable one? Like, how can you take steps to change that?
Yeah, so recognize if people are consistently saying to you, or even if it's, you know, if it's just one or two people. Now, that could be for all sorts of reasons. You know, most of us don't like to recognize our part in a relationship that doesn't work out in the way that we would like. And especially if we feel rejected or not desired or not cared about, you know, we will tend to blame others. You know, some of us will tend to massively blame ourselves or some combination of those. But I think, you know, being able to recognize if there's been a few people who have said to you, like, it's very hard to get close to you, or you're particularly standoffish, or, you know, you're blowing hot and cold, or let's say someone is telling you that they don't experience you as following through on, you know, on what you say you'll do. That can be a good time to look at, like, what's happening here? Am I either maybe dating a very specific type of person who experiences me that way, or is it probably more the case that I'm actually unavailable? Maybe it's simply that I haven't taken the time to work out what I want and need in my relationships. So I'm dating people who are very much looking to escalate, let's say, to a monogamous relationship and maybe go along that relationship escalator to, you know, cohabiting and, you know, getting married and having kids. And maybe that's not something that you actually want. Hmm. So you, people could be experiencing you as emotionally unavailable. And it might simply be that you don't have enough self-awareness of what you want in your relationships. And so that can be a really helpful one to work out with a therapist as well, as just like really exploring that and unpacking the different, you know, messages that you've been given culturally and through your experience, and can give you a lot more satisfaction and kind of solace, you know, and just feel a bit clearer and calmer about what it is that you want and how to go about that and how to communicate better, because most of us have pretty poor communication patterns from how we grew up. So that can be really helpful as well.
I blame the parents. Rachel Cook, thank you so much for coming on and talking to us about that. Really interesting stuff. I'll talk to you next week.
Talk to you, Jen.
Lovely stuff. There we go. Rachel Cook, psychotherapist and mental health consultant. And you can follow Rachel on Instagram at Rachel Jane Cook with an E on the end. She will be here. She's coming in here in studio next week. That's very exciting, isn't it?
Jennifer Zaffarelli.
Weekday morning from 9
on 2FM.